Last week, Alabama's governor signed into law a law or a bill that will protect the IVF industry in the state after its Supreme Court had ruled that frozen embryos were to be treated like they were actual human beings, like they were children. This ruling is, or the decision to make a law about it, is kind of a major backtrack as far as like pro-life sensibilities go. And the governor is touting this as a pro-life thing. So that's what we're going to talk about today on today's episode of the Spectator PM podcast. I'm Aubrey Gulick, and I'm joined, as always, by Ellie Gardy. So, Ellie, what do you think about this ruling and the decision that came after it?
Right, so the Alabama legislature's decision to allow the IVF industry to continue to work and KIV signature of this bill is just a disgrace. It's an absolute backtracking for the pro-life movement. They've completely betrayed all pro-life principles. I think you understand, Aubrey, and we know that IVF necessarily entails abortion in the vast majority of cases. And so the whole industry as a whole entails abortion. So it just to look at what happens in IVF, in most cases, they make about 12 to 15 embryos. They make about 12 to 15 human beings, and they'll pick out the perfect one they like of those. And so they can create their perfect child, and then they'll kill the others or freeze them forever or cast them aside. And so this is just, a terrible disgrace to life and just a terrible mistreatment of human beings. And Republicans in Alabama and elsewhere across the country are not recognizing this, and they're framing this support for IVF as being pro-life. And I think KIV's statement on this is just so horrible, and it's really hopeless for the pro-life movement, because this is what she said. She said, "From protecting the unborn to supporting IVF, Alabama is proud. We are a pro-life, pro-family state." That is just jarring. That's just, none of that matches together at all.
Right. And the pro-life, like the pro-life slogan for so long at this point is that life begins at conception. It's a very, the moment the sperm and the egg touch, and there's a miracle that happens, and that's life. And to then like to do that in a lab, isolated from like, the love and like the situation supposed to be happening in, and then like freezing the result in the hopes that maybe, someday eventually, like you might use that embryo. But it's like, that's not just an embryo. To use the term embryo, I think it's like, it kind of like separates you from the reality. Like, it's not just an embryo, it's a human being that you're freezing. And quite frequently, like, you can, and this happens, like, they'll freeze them and then, like, 2, 3 years later, inject them into a woman's womb where the child will develop into a full-grown adult. Like, so the like there's actual life there. Life has already started at this point. And what the ruling did was laudable. It was probably one of the biggest like decisions and most pro-life decisions we've had in this country, probably since the overturning of Roe v. Wade, in that it recognized that these children are in fact children, and that like we have to protect them. Like, they fall under the protection of the law. And I mean, the court wasn't saying you can't do IVF. The court was saying, like, we are treating your this the way that you deal with these frozen babies that you have in your lab as like we're treating them as children with rights under the law.
Because
And
they
the
are.
fine. Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is, this legally completely makes sense. This follows Alabama's law. So they have a law, if a child is killed wrongfully, that's under the Unlawful Death of a Minor Act. And so they ruled that children who are killed when they are embryos in a lab, that qualifies as such, because they are also children. Just like unborn children who are killed are, they qualify under this law. Similarly, it's just the location is different. And that is the only difference, is the location. It's the same person. It's just, the same thing as, oh, we have a baby here, or the baby's in the mother's womb. That's still a baby, still a person. It's a child. And that's what it is.
Right. And like, we don't even have like statistics at this point for like how many, you know, hundreds of thousands of kids have died this way or been discarded, because
tens of millions, you know, right. I think every year over 10 million children are killed in the United States by this. So this is probably kills more people than the, you know, norm, what we normally talk about when it comes to abortion, of an abortion medication or surgery. So this is, should be at the forefront of the pro-life movement, because these are equally human lives. There's no lessening at all because they're in a lab or because they haven't developed more. They're equal. And so when Speaker Mike Johnson says he believes life begins at conception, and then he turns around and says, oh yeah, it seems good what Alabama's done, and then won't, you know, give an answer on IVF when he's asked straight up, you know, you say that life begins at conception, so isn't it murder to, you know, kill these frozen embryos? And he says, let me look at what he said. He said, oh, we need to look at the ethics surrounding that issue. You know, he's just, and he's not really, you know, he's talking around it and evading the question. And it's just clearly, where are his principles? Is he still claiming to be pro-life and yet supporting the killing of children in, you know, in these labs?
Right, right. And really the Republican response to this whole IVF thing has been, it's been absolutely horrible for a party that, you know, touts being pro-life. And I know that they think that this is an unpopular political issue, and maybe it is, but at some point, like, politics doesn't matter. It's, I mean, like, abortion is an unpopular political position. It consistently polls badly. That doesn't mean that as a politician, you should, you know, put your finger in the wind, try to figure out where it's going, and then be like, okay, so the masses don't support abortion, or, you know, don't support pro-life policies, therefore we won't pass them. It's like, no, you should be in politics to make this a more moral nation. And there's a relationship between, you know, what the laws are passed and what people believe. And it kind of goes both ways. So I find it really obnoxious when, like, Republican politicians who claim to be pro-life, like Mike Johnson, as you pointed out, like Mike Pence, like, you know, all of these different people, and they say they're pro-life, but they're actually, like, you know, undermining life. They are supporting policies that kill, you know, millions of babies, which is just astronomically huge, like all of these lives that will no longer be lived, which is just insane.
Yeah, it's really terrible. And, you know, it's hard to look at the situation we have now and have hope, because the conservatives are not standing up for life. The liberals are actively trying to enable mass murder as much as possible when it comes to this. And so it's tough to have hope and see how things can improve, because just every Republican, so many Republican politicians' response to this has been, oh yeah, we support IVF. You know, look at Brian Kemp in Georgia. He's been a huge pro-life advocate. And, you know, Georgia has a heartbeat law, and it's, you know, and that's been amazing. And then the IVF decision comes out and Brian Kemp's just like, oh yeah, we should totally allow IVF to continue. And, you know, I hope that these politicians don't realize what IVF is. Maybe there just isn't enough awareness about what's happening, because it's pretty new. It's not talked about that much. And maybe people just need to have increased awareness about what really goes on and how lives are terribly mistreated in this.
Right. I mean, it's something like the abortion movement, where pro-lifers have, I mean, they still really need to push exactly what happens in that situation. And I think that something also that has been interesting to me in covering this issue has been the number of conservatives and people who've come out of the woodworks to say, hey, look, I was conceived via IVF and or IUI or, you know, some similar process, and it's still morally wrong, right? So, like, the American Conservatives contributing editor there, he's Christopher Brunette, recently wrote a piece, probably 2 weeks ago or so at this point, where talking about like his position on the ethics of IVF coming as somebody who, you know, who was conceived by IUI. And he's like, this is a very similar process, but just because that was the way I was conceived, just because like I'm here doesn't mean that the way I was conceived is moral or right. And I think that's important to recognize, because I think something that a lot of conservatives kind of hesitate from is like, okay, yeah, but what about people who are born from IVF? It's like, well, it doesn't mean that they're like, we're not
saying either less dignity or something. It just says this was the way that they were conceived was wrong. But
right,
they're, you know, a person, and there's no difference there. So
right. And it it happens all the time. Like, there are so many ways to, you know, have illicitly conceive a child.
Ways to conceive a child and sin, that one way is not, it does not, you know, change anything.
Right. And I also think it's very important for these people to come out, to say something about it, to talk about it. Because I think that this is an issue that we're going to see come at the forefront of American politics more in the future, if only because it's becoming far, far more prevalent than it used to be. And it's far easier and cheaper to do the procedure. So,
yeah, plus we should be aware that, you know, a lot of people who have been conceived through IVF, they've been harmed through it. And they've had injustices done to them through the fact that they were conceived that way. So a lot of couples will, you know, one person isn't fertile for some reason, so they take egg or sperm from some stranger and then conceive a child that way. And then the kid doesn't realize that that's not the real father. And then they have all these identity crises, and it's a single woman who decides to have a kid and there's no father in the picture, and so many other situations. And, you know, and then on top of that, you have the whole issue that your parents paid so much money to create you and picked you out from among your siblings and killed the others and picked out which one was genetically best in a lab, and, you know, basically just wanted you for their own self gain. And that's why they picked out the one that looked perfect.
Right. Yeah. It is the like definition of eugenics in a modern, like, it feels almost like it's from science fiction, but it's not. Like, this is actually happening, which is so crazy. We've gotten to this point in, you know, the development of the modern world. Like, yeah, Orson Welles would be proud.
Yeah. So we'll have to see if any Republican politicians come out and say, you know, I'm strongly against IVF, because I haven't seen that. And so, you know, it'll be incredibly unpopular, but, you know, you have to stick with it one way or the other. I mean, if you're going to say, oh yeah, I support IVF, you might as well just say I support abortion. There's no difference really, you know, and because IVF necessarily entails in most cases. So, you know, politicians need to be honest about where they are and just be pro-life or don't be pro-life. You know, you gotta know what the reality is, and you're just only diminishing the pro-life movement if you're arguing for abortion and claiming to be pro-life.
Right. Yeah. Well, with that, thank you for listening to the Spectator PM podcast, everybody. We are super excited about things at the American Spectator. There's some updates coming up. We have some big projects in the work. We have a new writer, Nate Hochman. You can follow him and his writing at the American Spectator this week and going forward. So yeah, definitely follow us there, spectator.org, and check out everything we're doing.